We are focusing on soul winning during this month, and if you have not got a soul in the New Testament and you'd be interested in getting one on a sale price, they're available out the doors, and of course always in the bookstore, but out the doors here at the Grace to Grow counter. And then if you wanted to get the CD of Brother Howell's teaching on Let's Go Soul Winning, that's available as well. It's $2, about the cost to make it. And or you can go online and get it from a link off our website on just the FBC Hammond website there, and Let's Go Soul Winning. We'd like to encourage you to look at that, and you can listen to that illustration, which is a great a demonstration on how to lead someone to Christ. I want you to have that as we talk about that. You know, motivation, I think, is the missing ingredient. This is part two from this morning. We've talked about this passage of Scripture, and we laid a little bit of a foundation about our responsibility as ambassadors for Christ. But one missing element, the reason we don't do what we should do or what we could do, is largely because of motivation. I heard the story of a man who was in the wilderness and enjoying a leisurely walk through the wilderness and encountered a grizzly bear. And the bear started chasing him. And he was running as fast as he could, but he realized the bear was gaining on him and that bear is going to get him. A ways away, he saw a limb hanging off a tree that was probably about 12 feet tall. It's 2 feet taller than a basketball rim. He said, my only chance is I've got to get a hold of that thing. I've got to try to, if I can get up there, I can be spared from this bear. As a matter, he took off, he leaped up, and he missed the limb. But he caught it on the way down. That means he jumped so high, he was so scared, he was motivated to get away from that bear, he did something he wasn't really able to do. You know, that motivation is something that oftentimes helps us. And God is He's the classic motivator. I think of Brother Hiles, probably no one could motivate men like Brother Hiles could do. He'd go preach in Pennsylvania on Monday, Tuesday night this week, and about 3 weeks later, two couples would be driving here just to go to church here all the time. It's amazing how the Lord used him. But God gives us great motivation on winning people to Christ. We know that this brings glory to God. God is glorified when we bear much fruit. And one of the reasons we're still here in this world is so that we can bring glory to God and good to others. And soul winning does both of those. It is a chance to glorify God because we get people saved. Number two, it is good for others to get saved, and it's good for us. It brings joy to us. It brings great pleasure, but many of us, including myself, are very pathetic soul winners. And it's not because there's not lost out there. It's not because there aren't people kneeling in a house somewhere and saying, God, I want you to show me your love. It's not because people do not want to hear the gospel. It's because we, and the gospel's not broken, but we're not giving the gospel. But here the Apostle Paul, who said in Philippians chapter 1, my whole conversation is about the gospel. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. He says, more needful that I abide still with you. He says, I'm here so I can get the gospel out. When people told him, don't go to Jerusalem. You're going to get arrested there. He said, why try you to break my heart? I don't care. I just want to get someone else the gospel. Why is he so different than me or you? And the motivation is important. The Apostle Paul is telling the church at Corinth, who have given him all kinds of lip about how he is beside himself. He's probably crazy. If he's such a spiritual guy, why does he all end up in jail all the time? They're making fun of him, giving him a hard time. Not everybody, but a few hot cats in the church were giving him some difficult time. And he writes to them this letter, and he writes to them to tell them to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. But let me tell you why I labor and why I suffer reproach. And I want to give you a few thoughts in regards to that quickly. Let's look at it again in verse number 9. We carried this morning, wherefore we labor, that whether absent or present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Our first reason in which we ought to be soul winners is because it pleases the Lord. God is happy when we're happy doing things that make Him happy. Really, He's happy when someone speaks His name of His Son to someone. When someone gets the gospel out, Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation. But he said, the first reason, you say, why do I work so hard? Why don't I mind going to jail? Why do I not mind sleeping out under the stars and going through difficult times and all the things that happen to me? He said, why do I labor and suffer reproach, whether I'm present or absent, that I might please the Lord, I'd be accepted of Him? By the way, it's one of the reasons we practice separation. In a day and time that we live in, so many people want to blend into the world. They want to dress like the world. They want to act like the world. They want to listen to the same music, go to the same activities, movies. They don't want to be distinct. They want to be different. By the way, God is the one who says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will what? Receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. You talk about, you don't have to be separated in order to get saved. No, no. You have to be separated in order to please the Lord. That's please the Lord. That's not for salvation. That's for sanctification. That's for purity. The Bible tells us that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's that good and acceptable. People, you really have two options. You're either pleasing the Lord or trying to appease the Lord. You're either saying, I want to do whatever you want me to do, whatever makes you happy with my life, or you're saying, I want to do what at least I can do without getting you too ticked off at me. I don't want you getting too upset with me. And here he says, let me tell you why I'm a soul winner. Number one is because I really want to be accepted of Him. I want to be able to walk in. Have you ever, all of us who have had good dads and or maybe good coaches or things of that nature, you know whenever you please your parents, it's a joy to be with them. When you have done wrong against your parents or have been negligent in something they told you to do, you're not as comfortable with them. Young people who will walk home tonight and walk in the door and they just go off into their bedroom and close their door and not communicate with their parents, there's probably something going on there. There's not that receptivity. There's not that accountability. There's not that sweetness, that fellowship. I'm not saying it's always the case. I'm just saying that is it. But he said, number one, I do it because I want to be pleasing to the Lord. By the way, that's really huge. Immorality oftentimes comes because of people not pleasing the Lord. I think about this verse often because it's a deterrent to immorality. The Song of Solomon said in Song of Solomon chapter 7, verse 26, he said, I find more bitter than death is a woman, strange woman, whose snares and bands. But whoso pleases the Lord shall escape her. One question you ought to ask yourself, is my life pleasing the Lord? You can set all kinds of barriers and you can do all kinds of rules for yourself. One of the fast tracks to staying right with God and away from immorality is pleasing the Lord. Say, you know, my life pleases Him. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 29, I do all those things that please Him. Whatever makes God happy is what I do. The difference between Jesus and John is sometimes I'm not always real pleasing to the Father. But it's a deterrent. Apostle Paul said you ought to walk and to please God. He said the reason I work and I labor and I run that bus route and I teach that Sunday school class and I work that security position and I take care of whatever it is that God wants me to do, whether that nursery or whatever work God's called you to do, whether it's making a meal for the lighthouse or for the truck, why do I do that? Why would I practice my instrument or come to choir practice? Or why would I get my boys up to sing tonight after the service in preparation for Father's Day? It's because I can please the Lord. I can do something. Just a reminder, friend, that in this lifetime, you can do things that you will not be able to do in eternity. There's no need to go soul winning eternity. I promise you, Jesus will not get up in His throne and say, all right, folks, today we're all going out soul winning. No, there's no need for soul winning. If you're going to do that, you can do that here. There's no need for offerings in heaven. Jesus is not going to say, well, it's a Baptist meeting, let's take an offering. There's no need for that. Everything that will be invested had been invested. Every soul that's been won will have been won. There's no need for prayer meetings. We won't have a cottage prayer meeting in heaven. Not going to gather at your house or my house so we can pray and talk to Jesus. Because we'll be with Him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we'll have instant access to the God of heaven. But right now, it's time to do that. And we should do that, number one, because we want to please the Lord. Number two is because there are eternal rewards. Let's read the next verse real quickly. Verse number 10. For we must all appear, second motivation, before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone will receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse number 11. Here gives our third motivation. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He said, you know, here's the next thing that motivates me is the terror of the Lord. Now, I don't know for sure if it's totally talking about the terror that a judge would have if you're not right with him, but there's no penalty for sin in eternity for a child of God. There, we will suffer loss, but we're not going to spend years in purgatory or in the lake of fire and then come out later to pay for our sins. That's not happening. Anyone who's saved, all of their sins are covered. There will be disappointment. You're going to stand before God with rewards or regret. There's no two options. You're going to be glad you did or wish you would have. And the reason we go soul winning, we have a soul winning meeting, we have a Super Saturday soul winning, we have a great crowd there, but so many people don't come. And they could. I realize some people have to work, but some people just, that's what our church is doing. I've got my own thing. And I'm not saying that's the only way you can do that, but you ought to find a soul winning meeting you go to. You ought to find some place, some activity in which you can, on purpose, get out and tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you ought to witness in the way. I think you ought to carry gospel tracts, be sensitive to who God is speaking to, and tell folks about the Lord. But I would say this, you're going to be glad you did or wish you would have. And the deeds done while in your body, by the way, younger people, you need to bear your yoke in your youth. Younger people who start missing services and missing activities and not the one of the best things, if we've got some seniors who graduated from high school this year, you better get involved in a ministry. If you're just looking to be patted on the head and stroked every now and then and get entertained, you'll get entertained on a Friday night at a club a lot more than you'll get it on Sunday morning. The devil, you'll play right into the Satan's hand. You better find some purpose bigger than you that you're getting involved with. And I'm not talking about a little 30-minute, you know, taking care of kids on a Wednesday night. And do that. Work with the Transformer Kids Club. But you better find another time where you're investing in the lives of people. Get on a bus route. Get in a Sunday school class. You help. Now be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. You ask your authorities, what can I do? What can I get involved with that? The Bible teaches this wonderful doctrine. He says, he that does the doctrine understands the doctrine. When you do what you're supposed to do, you'll get it. It's a teaching that we have in teachers. If you tell me, I'll forget. If you show me, I'll remember. But if you involve me, I understand. You tell me how to change a tire, I don't know how to change a tire. You show me, I might get it. You know how I learn to change a tire? By changing a tire. When I do it, then I get it. I cannot make biscuits and gravy, but I love biscuits and gravy. I would starve to death if I had to make it myself. But my wife, she's been told how to make biscuits and gravy. That didn't help her. She has been shown how to make biscuits. That didn't help her. But you know how she's become the number one best biscuits and gravy maker in all the planet, in my opinion? She's done it a few times. It's one of our favorite meals. We like it. Has zero nutrients. But it's so good, if you gave me two plates, I'd eat the second one first. I love biscuits and gravy. And I love the way she makes them. I feel sorry for people who eat a Cracker Barrel, eat the gravy. It's like eating some kind of sawdust in a, you know, just with some milk on it or something. It's awful. You've never had Linda's gravy. Linda, why don't you make some for everybody next week? It's good. You know how she learned to make gravy? By making gravy. You know how you learn to understand the heart of God is by serving God. Getting involved in doing something. Not just sitting, soaking, and souring, and evaluating every message and every song. Yeah, that was good. Pretty good service. Yeah, that was good service. That's good service. And think you killed the big one when you go home on Sunday morning. Because you got to a service. Oh yeah, we love our church. Church, great. We love church. Good to see people baptized. It's been forever more since you ever had any role in that, but you're glad it happened. And I'm glad it happens. And many times I've seen people baptized. I didn't have anything to do with it. I do rejoice with that. But it ought to be something inside of me to say, you know what, Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to use me to bring people to Christ. Why? So I can please the Lord. Number two, so I can receive eternal rewards at the hand of the one who loves me the most. And then also because there is a hell. Every once in a while I find someone, I had someone the other day tell me, you know, I don't really believe there's a hell. That's all right. I guess people have they have option to believe. But you know, you disagree with Jesus. He was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He mentioned hell more than he mentioned heaven. He's all over it. You disagree with the Bible. If there's no hell, then Jesus is just a babbling idiot. And forgive me for saying that. It's not really probably what I should say. If there's no hell, the Bible's just trash. Just throw it in the garbage can and walk out and live your life for yourself. If there's no hell, then there's no heaven. No sense in you doing anything. But there is all those. There's a Jesus, there's a Bible, there's a heaven, there's a hell. And I believe in hell not like I should. If I believed in it like I should, I'd probably be much more aggressive in telling my friends how to get to heaven from here, how to avoid hell. He said, I know the terror of the Lord. Because I know the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. How good are you at persuading people? You can't force people to get saved. You're not really even soul winning. We're soul warning. But how persuasive are you in your life? How persuasive are you with your lips? How persuasive are you with your testimony? Do people get impressed when they hear from you how they get saved? Let's continue if we can, please. He said, I'm motivated by acceptance and reception of the Lord. I'm motivated by rewards. I'm motivated by the result that people have. I think about the song I heard years ago, Think What It Means to Be Lost Forever. No one to guide you across death's cold river. Crying, sadness, none to deliver. Think what it means to be lost. You know, it's been a long time since I ever knew what it was like to be lost. How many of you have been saved more than 10 years? How many of you have been saved more than 20 years, like me? Some 30 years. Some of us, we get so callous, we forget what it means to be lost. I see Miss Selma Vincent in a baptism. While other people don't really care about baptism, she stands there in anticipation. And every time, yay! What's the difference between us getting out so we don't have to see it and her staying to the last one? Oh, probably about 29 years. Probably about 19 years. Probably about 45 years. We get used to it. She's only 1 year into her journey with the Lord. And she's still excited. And I hope she never gets over with it. I hope I get a hold of that. So you see someone get baptized, you say, amen, that's great. Someone gets saved. It's 12:15. It's 8 o'clock, someone gets saved. That's all right. Bring him on. Someone wants to get baptized. That's okay. Let's rejoice with them. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Let's look on a couple other things that bless me. In verse number 11, the Bible says, we are made manifest to God. That means it's open to Him. And I trust also manifest to your conscience. By the way, if you're right with God and your conscience is right with God, it'll probably be right with other people. People will be able to see that you're right. People have a sense of sincerity. They can catch on to a Pharisee. He said, our lives are manifest, they're open book to God, and we hope they're an open book to your own conscience. I'm always nervous when people get paranoid. They want people to know their business. They're nervous about things. I believe here Paul said, you know what, I become all things to all men. I'm an open book. God knows me. And he says, you're our epistles, known and read of how many people? all men. You live in a glass house, especially as a child of God. And by the way, I've had people tell me, I don't want to be in the ministry. Everybody knows your business. That is a privilege. I want people to know my business. I want them to be able to see me. I want them to be able to see my wife. I hope God will help us with our children. I think, and forgive me, but I think there's an element for mystiqueness. But I think many of us have made a mystique mistake. Sometimes we just need to open up and say, listen, I want to live the Christian life 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I am what I am on Monday, and I am what I am on Sunday. And on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday, and I'm a Christian 24/7. Paul says, look, God knows my heart, and I hope you and your conscience knows what I am. People need to have they don't need another cheap imitation of the world or someone who is a secret service Christian. They need someone who's just out there serving the Lord, real deal. Thought about this today. I'll mention it probably on the radio broadcast this week. But the world needs two things from me. They need me to be real, and they need me to be ready. They need me to be a real, sincere Christian, and they need to be ready for me to open the Bible and show them what the Bible says, to reason with people. That's why I think the Bible Institute is so important. It gives you more information to reason with people. That's why I think discipleship. And I was talking to a man the other day. I said, hey, listen, taking discipleship yet? He goes, no, I haven't thought about it. I'm not going to do that. Why don't you do that? I think you growing in the Lord will help other people grow in the Lord. And you'll be more ready to help somebody. Be a real and a ready Christian. Verse number 12. And we commend ourselves unto you again and give you an occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may somewhat have answered them that glory in appearance and not in the heart. So some people, they have it on the outside, but they don't have it in the heart. He said, the Church of Corinth was making much of people because they had this or had that. But they really, in their hearts, I've met Christians that were raised in. They didn't have a walk with the Lord, and this is why they went south, and they start looking for other churches that meet their need and other doctrines meet their need, and they'll come back and say, oh, I'm so free now. I have such liberty. You know what it really is? It's an appearance, but it's not true. That's just my opinion. That was for free. Let's go to the next one. Verse 13. But whether you be beside yourself, it is to God, or to whether you be sober or serious or on purpose, it is for your cause. We see that the next motive is because it helps people. Soul winning blesses everybody that does it. I'm blessed with it. You're blessed with it when we are soul winners. Let's look at the last one. There's a couple other things, but look at verse 14. For the love of Christ. What motivates us? Oh, yes, to be accepted of Him. Eternal rewards. Hell motivates us. Others motivate us. And then it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus died for all. And He said, because of His love for us, that motivates. That's the greatest motivation, is to know that God loves me. It's no wonder why so many people wonder about that. So no doubt, every one of us at times in our life, especially at difficult times, wonder, does God love me? Remember one time hearing a man say, well, God loves me some, but not like He loves everybody else. If He loved me like I love everybody else, then I'd have this and have that and do this, and I wouldn't have this happen to me. Boy, that guy's bought into a lie. There's no I love you not. It's I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's how it is with God. But the love of Christ is why we need to know the love of Christ. You know how you know the love of Christ? You better get in the Bible. Because it's God's long love letter to you. And I want to tell you something else that motivates me. And it's not just all these things, but it's the confidence that God will use the gospel to change your life. Look at verse 17. You know it already. Read it with me if you would, please. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, all things... One of the motivations of soul winning that blesses me is to see lives changed. To see people become a new creature. And old things pass away and all things become new. Some of you might remember Brother Joel, Melissa over here. Clark, would you guys raise your hand right there? Sweet people. God had used numbers of things in their heart and life to bring them to Jesus. A crew chief when he was racing cars, and friends at work. But one day on a snowy day, he had two wrecks on the way to church, spun out right in the middle of 80-94, trying to get to this church. God saved him. Just a beautiful testimony. Now we've got to see their lives changed before our very eyes. Think of Miss Angela's over here, gave her testimony this morning, Miss Selma. Tonight, all over this building, I could just start pointing out people whose lives have been radically changed by soul winning. Someone knocking on the door, someone developing a relationship and sharing Christ with them. I don't know about you, but that motivates me. I have the joy to preach to hundreds of people on a weekly basis, and you're so patient to listen to me. But I'm telling you what, that does not do for me what sitting down with a sinner and seeing them get saved does for me. Disciple a new convert. You came to me as a church, said, Pastor, you've done okay for the last 4 years, and you've helped us through a little bit of a speed bump, but we just need to get another pastor that can do something with this church. So, we do have an opening to be a janitor and a soul winner in our church. Would you be willing to do that? I would say, yes, I'll be glad to do that. There's a great joy in seeing people's lives changed with the gospel of Christ. Because if anyone gets in Christ, the new creature. Old things are passed away. How long has it been since you had that joy? How long has it been since you had the joy of sitting down with somebody and just talking to them about Jesus? This week, Brother Eddie and I were witnessing to a lady, and she didn't get saved. I think when I started talking to her about hell, she got really wanted me to do something else. And just pray with me. Just pray with me. Pray about my health. She didn't want to continue talking about the lake of fire. She thought she was a good person. She couldn't see herself going there. And that's not fun. I'd love to give you another testimony of how she got saved and she got baptized this morning. But you know, there's something about just giving the gospel that creates a blessing, knowing that God's word will not return void. But it has to be gotten out. God's called us to do that. And when we do that, we please Him. We receive eternal rewards. We keep people from the terror of God and the judgment that will be eternally. We open ourselves up and manifest our conscience and our testimony. We help others. We show that we love Christ and we know Christ loves us. And we get to see people's lives changed. I want to be a part of that, and you should too. Let's pray together and let's stand if we can.